Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. And we're rolling. What's up, dude?
Oh, I love a big glass of water sometimes.
Dude, that's what I'm drinking, a big old stupid glass of water.
It's also because we're recording at noon, and we're not we're not that much of a savage.
You know what? Speaking of water, you know what I got this week?
Some water?
Katie and I finally, we got the...
plumbing turned on?
The home delivery water. We got running water now. No, we got the Sparklets 5-gallon jugs delivered with the little cooler and everything, just like a nice office.
Oh, building. Nice.
Very excited.
Does it do hot? Very excited. You got hot and cold coming out of there?
I got hot, cold, and room temp. Oh, 5-gallon jugs. It's actually pretty affordable. You only, this big, nice cooler, they rent it to you. It's like $4 a month. And then you just pay, you order your big 5-gallon jugs, how many ever you want. They bring them and... Dude, it's I've definitely started drinking a ton more water because of that.
Drink some water. That thing, those things pour out hot. You can make your cup of noodles with it.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you need a little, just like hot, maybe not boiling hot water, but some hot water for things, right there. My faucet. Otherwise, I got to sit there for about 6 months before it heats up.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm trying to drink a gallon a day. You know, couple that with my treadmill. I'm changing my whole lifestyle.
You are going for it.
I'm out of control.
I feel like I drink a gallon. I have no idea, but I feel like I easily drink a gallon of water a day.
Really? Because it's quite an effort for me.
How many pints?
Like, it's a chore.
I'm looking it up right now.
128 ounces in a gallon. So pints, you're talking... what, about 8 pints, somewhere around there?
8 pints. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
drink 8 pints a day?
I think. Well.
Good.
How many ounces did you say?
128.
Oh, yeah, because one of those Nalgene bottles is 64 ounces.
And okay.
I clean out 2, if not 3 of those.
You got 2 of those?
Dude, oh, yeah, man.
Way to go.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, that's why having a big jug with you, instead of like, oh, a water bottle, this or that. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm thirsty. I'm going to house some water. I'm not going to be like, oh, I got one little bottle. I guess I'll save it. No, I'm going crazy because I got the big boy, the 128 hydro flask, like the big, the growl, not even growler, bigger than that.
Well, was that a gallon? That'd be a gallon. 128 is,
I guess,
how many ounces
I
is
guess.
In it?
Shit, let me see.
Yeah, so you got a gallon growler there. That's pretty cool.
Let me see what size I got.
I used to do that way back in the day when I was working out all the time in my 20s. I would just carry around a whole gallon, like, you know, a store-bought gallon, like a jug, and I just suck on that all day. But then sometimes I felt stupid. Just, oh, there's Dave with this big, stupid gallon of water.
No, that's all right, man. No, I take that back. So I have a 64-ounce thing.
Okay, so you go through 2 of those a day. That's a gallon.
But I don't – the one I was drinking, Nalgene's are what size? Size. Let me see. I think I misrepresented how much I was drinking a day. Oh, yeah, it's a 32-ounce. So I was easily doing
– okay.
I was easily doing a half gallon.
Okay,
without
yeah, doing
a doubt,
2 of those
without
a day.
Doubt. Okay. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. All right, but yeah, we got that. Yeah, good. Drink water, man. Drink water. You've been jogging? You've been doing it?
Yeah.
Well, the treadmill's not here yet, so I'm waiting on that. It's somewhere between. Remember, I told you it's a 6 week window.
Oh yeah.
And I even called them, and I was like, "Y'all can't narrow that down." And they're like, "Nope." And I'm like, "Huh? Well, I paid you today, so I guess I'll just wait for 6 weeks."
Like, what am I supposed to do in the meantime? I don't know, man. Thing. Jog.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm over here. I can't do nothing. You could go on a walk, Dave. No. But no, the water thing, man, just like the treadmill, just removing any and all excuses. It's like, there it is, idiot. Just drink. Just drink this water.
Mm-hmm.
Get on that treadmill. Stop being so fucking fat. It's as simple as that.
I remember being a little kid and coming from like mowing the lawn and then drinking. Like, I would still just drink pop, you know, because you're a kid.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, man, what a rough day. Better have a room temperature Pepsi. I remember my dad. just looking at me like, "What are you doing?" Like, I'm thirsty. He's like, "Then drink water. That's what water's for." Like, just the most old man water's type boring. Shit. Yeah, I'm a kid. I want room temperature Pepsi. It's like a beer when you're 11.
So you just sit there,
you know?
Bellied up to the counter with your Pepsi.
Yeah. A rough day, man. And you got to drink a whole glass bottle by yourself. That was a big day. That was them. They were acknowledging that you're getting old. Let you have a whole bottle by
Remember
yourself.
Remember the glass 16-ounce bottles that Pepsi and I think Coke both used to come in, like in the 80s, early 90s. The kind of the fat rounded glass bottle. But it was 16 ounces.
Like the Mexican Cokes?
And it had like, no, just regular ones. You know, before everybody switched to plastic. And it had like the little kind of styrofoam wrapper. Had that like the styrofoam wrapper. Like, you know, you'd scrape it with your fingernail and rip off this.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I used to love those, man. The old 16-ounce rounded glass bottle of soda, man. That was a good time.
Shit, man. We also drank the ones that were always, like, you always return the bottles for the redemption value. And you could tell they're old bottles because they're all busted around the sides. They're, like, all worn out.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's our little trip down that road. Did you ever go to Galco's, the soda pop shop over in Eagle Rock? Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think we've talked about that. Galco's soda pop shop in Eagle.
Galco's.
I don't know about that.
It's a grocery store of just soda pop. They have every.
Wow, of like all types, like hard to find varieties.
It's like a record store, man.
Damn.
It's like a record store for diabetics. You go in there and you just hunt around looking for that hard to find, those rarities. Some Barks from 1992, if you're looking for that.
You can bring in your old sodas.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They'll buy from
you.
Yeah.
Some first pressing Royal Crown, maybe.
You want cash or store credit?
Yeah. Then they had they have a make your own station in the back. Oh, man. It's awesome, dude. It's worth a drive.
Oh, nice. Whereabouts in Eagle Rock?
I don't even remember. I think maybe it was Highland Park, but over on the east side there. Okay. And yeah, and it's not even like a hipster spot. It's just a place that's been there forever. I think you could still get like Hubba Bubba soda. You remember when Hubba Bubba made soda? It's soda that tastes like gum. Oh, my.
Isn't that what most soda tastes like?
What research?
Most soda tastes like gum.
What focus group did you ask, hey, do you guys like this pop that tastes like bubble gum? And they're like, absolutely. Who authorized that one?
Oh, man.
Well, we recorded yesterday. We're recording today. We're speeding them up because I'm going to be back on the road a bit. We're queuing some A's, A-ing some Q's.
Uh-huh.
We question some answers. We answer some questions, but sometimes we question the answers, Dave. That's what the Boogie Monster's
all
about.
That's true. It's a paradox.
Let's kick it off.
You got me wanting a grape soda now.
Now you want a grape soda?
Yeah, I want a nice ice cold grape soda.
You want a grape
like
drink?
A Crush or a Fanta.
I like
the Welch's soda. Remember Welch's used to do? Orange. I like the grape and the orange.
Grape.
There's really not a soda I didn't like.
Grape bit a little bit too much, but I like an orange. And I was talking about this on a thing yesterday. I love a squirt.
Squirt. Which one was
great? Grapefruit.
Oh, right. Yes. Squirt. Okay.
To this day,
yeah, I do like a squirt.
Maybe once a year, if I'm in a gas station or something, I see like, you could tell it's real cold. Get myself a cold squirt.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I love that. I love a root beer. Oh, I love a big fountain drink at the movies.
That's the best.
It's one of the only times. The best. Yeah, it's one of the only times I let myself drink pop. You just get a large. Give me a large.
Yeah.
Give me that dirty ice.
What do you go for at the movies? What you going Coke? You going? What are you doing?
Usually just a Coke. Usually a brown drink. I don't fuck with the Sprite too often. Maybe as a splash if I'm getting like an orange drink, I'll throw a little like Sprite or 7-Up in as a splash, but that's about it.
When I was a dumb fat little kid, sometimes I would drink Sprite thinking it was healthier. Like, I need a whole... I've had a lot of Coke today. Let me switch it over to Sprite. Lighten it up a little.
I mean, as an adult...
Having no idea.
As an adult, I switched to tequila from whiskey because I thought the same thing. So, you're not wrong, Dave. You're not wrong. It's clear. It seems like it should be more purified. It doesn't have as many imperfections as a brown drink. At some point today... Ooh, Strawberry Crush. You ever see Strawberry Crush in somebody's house and you think like, oh man, your parents really do not give a fuck about you. Like any parent that would want to raise their child healthy would not give them, like would not have flavors of Crush in the house.
No.
Like a 2-liter of just Strawberry Crush. I'm like, what's your parents going through a rough time? Is your dad living somewhere else? Is your mom starting a date again? Why is this in here? Well, you are right. this is negligent. This is clearly negligent.
I'm going out. There's Crush in the fridge. Take what you want.
Rachel told me a story about her dad when her brother, like, her parents were divorced, and I don't know if I should tell the story, but they were, like, there for the summer, and his dad was just going out for the weekend. He had the kids, but he's like, I'm going out, and he left just a bucket of tuna salad in the fridge for him to eat. She's like, yeah,
that's it?
We ran out of spoon. We ran out of clean spoons, so we're using mugs to dip in it.
Oh no!
Like, and she was laughing about it, so that's why I'm laughing about it. But it's a really sad story.
Just dipping a mug into a vat of tuna salad.
He basically treated his kids like they were house cats. Like, well, if I'm leaving for a few days, I'll just leave out more food than normal.
Just dip into the porridge bucket like an orphan.
Yep. Ugh. Get your ladle of gruel. she's fine now. We're going to see her dad in a couple days.
I'm glad everything worked out.
Speaking of coffee mugs full of tuna salad, Aaron Joaquins says, hey, Dave, do you have any casserole recipes that you can make the day before? What a timely question, Aaron.
I do, Aaron. Here, write this down. I'm going to give you my cheesy hash brown casserole recipe. All right, write this down. Here's what you need. You need 2 pounds of frozen shredded hash browns, and then you thaw those out. They can't be frozen, you know, when you're working with them, but they start off frozen. Thaw them out. 2 pounds of shredded hash browns. You need one can of cream of mushroom soup, and if you can't find that or if that turns you off, cream of chicken will do the same. 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon of smoked paprika. You need 1 yellow onion diced up real nice. You need 4 cups of shredded cheddar cheese. And I always recommend shredding your own. Just get you a block or two and then shred that up. It's much better than the pre-shredded shit. Yeah. 2 cups of sour cream, 1 stick of melted butter. Here's what you do. Preheat your oven to 350. Combine all that shit in a large bowl, except hold out 2 cups of the cheese. Transfer all that. Mix it all up. Transfer that shit into a 13x9x2 casserole dish. Bake uncovered for 40 minutes. After 40 minutes, pull it out. top with the other two cups of cheese, and then bake it another 10 minutes, and boom, you've got cheesy hash brown casserole. But the day before part, just, you know, combine all that shit, throw it in a casserole dish, stick it in the fridge, and then the next day you can pull it out and bake it. So there you go. There you go, bud. Cheesy hash brown casserole.
Did you just say that all from memory?
No, I pulled it up on my kitchen survival guide.
Okay, all right. I was like, that's impressive.
That would be impressive if I could just rattle off. A lot of my recipes I can rattle off from memory, but that one I had to look into the old kitchen survival guide. Volume 1 is where that appears, and if anybody needs that, just dumbdavestone.com. Grab you a kitchen survival guide.
Hell yeah, man. Wow, I was like, man. Dave just knows this one. Dave knows. Dave's got a clutch casserole recipe.
I'm the Rain Man of casserole recipes.
That's useful. That's old Dwayne Kennedy had an old bit about how he's like nowadays, I don't know how it would have aged, but back in his day, it's like, he's got a crazy homeless man on his... And like, it's always yelling out in front of him, but it's like, be more helpful if you just yell out useful information, like the recipe to bread pudding, you know, just a crazy guy, his hand is in pass, like, get yeah. 2 cup butter, sugar. Like, I can see why you're homeless. Yeah, you don't have any social skills. Yeah.
Oh man. Good times. Alex Holcomb asked, could we get a Patreon exclusive of your ladies podcasting about y'all? I don't know. Right? They'd probably be, I can't imagine they would be excited about that.
Yeah, Rachel doesn't want anything to do with this shit. You should see her face when I'm like, hey, I know we got to paint a house today, but I got to dip out to record my, spooky ooky show with Dave real quick.
Oh man.
Nah, she showed up yesterday. You guys do Stoneberg, so Katie's comfortable with doing it. Also, yeah. Also Katie's is a performer as well, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I try to get her to join me on the Dave's Kitchen Q&A, but she's not interested in that cuz she's not very culinarily minded, but as we've discussed with her beef stock, beef bouillon cube marinated salmon.
Well, I shredded a hot dog into some mac and cheese. So maybe Katie and I should do a cooking show.
That would be funny.
Let's see.
What else we got? You got one there?
Oh, I always like these questions. This one's from Robert. I'm moving to Sacramento from Texas in December. What are some must-see sites in the American Southwest? Oh, I love these questions.
Okay.
In December, and given the state of the country, let's just say these recommendations come from hoping that there's not a civil war happening.
Yeah.
I would say, let's see, Texas, Sacramento, if you got the time. If you're cutting south because it's going to be cold out, I'd say White Sands, New Mexico is a pretty wild sight. Pretty impressive. Have you been to White Sands, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's what it says. It's just white sand dunes. It's not even desert. It's like, there's a difference between desert and beach sand, you know? And it's like, this is like beach sand just in the middle. Just as far as you could see, you're going... Like when you're in the ocean on a boat and you're dipping down and then dipping up, it's like that if you're walking through them. I lost my car when I was there because I started walking around. You can't mark trails in sand. They tried to, but all those little things blew. But that's a cool thing to see that would be on the way. Shit, man. Grand Canyon, anything northern Arizona, southern Utah.
Mm-hmm.
If you
Flagstaff is beautiful.
Flagstaff. Fucking skip Phoenix like your life depends on it, because it probably does. If you're going up to Sacramento, I don't know. You can if you're a winter guy, you could be cutting through Tahoe and do ski trip kind of stuff. And I don't know if Arches and Monument Valley is open in Utah in winter, how accessible it is. Otherwise, you got Death Valley or Joshua Tree when you're going to make your way over to the Five to get up to Sacramento. You go to Pappy and Harriet's and see Joshua Tree. It's a good route. I'll say that. It's a good route. If you like the desolate part of America. Not financially desolate. I mean, you know, landscape-wise.
Anyway. Dude, I love the Southwest.
Pick up some turquoise. Find a shaman. Otherwise, yeah, man. All right. Grand Canyon.
Here's one.
What you got?
Shay Carlson. This is for Kyle. Will you and the missus be taking a dirt nap back to L.A. when you guys head back?
No, well, as it is, we're going back in a couple days, but then we're back up in Oregon soon. So we've actually hired a cat sitter for a stray cat. We actually got somebody
That's
to come
nice.
Over. Yeah, just to come over and, like, put out food in the morning and make sure she's got water. So
you gotta take care of the cat, man.
Well, I mean, it's a stray cat. It's a survivor, but now it's, you know, it's an older cat and it's gotten accustomed to some luxuries. It's basically, it's like, it's, you know, it's like taking care of the richest 1% at this point. Now she doesn't know that there's another life out there. She only knows this life, and God forbid she has to understand what working for a supper means. Now she's just spoiled. And no, we have a cat sitter coming by for the stray cat that Rachel would call him too. She's like, we have an outdoor cat. I'm like, we have a stray cat. An outdoor cat means it still comes inside sometimes. This is a stray animal. But so no, she's going to be wandering the neighborhood for a month, keeping it safe until we get back up here. We gave our notice in. We're out October 1st, so we'll be back up this way soon. So, Jerry,
leaving L.A.
Yeah, man. Well, temporarily.
Okay. What do you got there?
Easy one. Bill Aldridge. I think I missed something. Kyle lives in Portland now. I live near Portland. Bill, if you needed to know. Scott Burchett.
Right on.
Scott Burchett. What would your preferred apocalypse end of the world scenario be? Example, zombies, comet, rapture, water world. Basically, what is your favorite way for the world to end? Okay, this one's got...
That's a good question.
It's got some meat on the bone here. Dave, what do you think?
Man, Waterworld would be kind of cool. Waterworld would be nice.
You just are on a jet ski.
Get my
kick.
Kayak.
Yeah, you're just on your jet ski.
Get my
kick
kayak
still.
And my jet skis.
Fucking ready.
That would
for
be.
It, bro.
I never have seen that movie though. I never did see that movie with Kevin Costner because I always heard how bad it was. But that's an interesting concept. The whole world is water. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. You know, there's something that like. People become fish. I don't know. But you think aquatic living?
I mean, I'm not saying it would be. In terms of ways for the world to end, that would just be a pretty interesting one. And see who can survive on water with no land. Wonder how that would work. Like, how long you could go. Like, imagine there was no land. Like, literally, everything was a body of water.
Well, you got to figure out how to desalinate the seawater. You're going to be eating a lot of fish.
I guess that'd be the only thing you'd be eating, right? There'd be no more farming.
But you got to get nutrients. There could be farming. There could be, I mean, hydroponics are a thing. And if you figure out how to desalinate seawater, you grow it. I mean, shit, they're growing plants in space.
Yeah, duh. Yeah, you could grow things in pots, you know. Just have you some barges full of potted vegetables and shit.
I mean, I would think, if you could figure out cheap desalination, that would be the way to go anyway. Because then you're surrounded by the food source for your product instead of being on land and worrying about plumbing and this and that. I'm sure there's more complications than that. I don't know. I think Comet.
How have we not.
What? How would we not what?
Real quick question. How have we not figured out desalination? Like, With all the technology we have, I don't understand why we can't just take water from the ocean and make it drinkable.
I think there are ways to do it, but it's cost preventative. I think I read somewhere about how in like Middle East, what is it Abu Dhabi or what's the big city in the Middle East that's just wealthy?
Dubai.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi is pretty wealthy too, but usually people are talking about Dubai.
Yeah, but they have all this oil money, but it's a desert. There's no water, so they have to desalinate. But what they do have is oil, so their desalination plants are run on gasoline because they have that to spare. Mm. But I read something where the amount of gas they use to desalinate enough water for the city, it's like some outlandish amount, like the amount the amount of gas spent in all of Southern California during rush hour for a day, I'm not clicking around right now because my audio is kind of sensitive with the computer where it's at. That doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me. But you can look it up. They can do it, but it is cost and energy prohibitive as of right now. And where's the money in making sure everybody can have clean water? You know.
Yeah, true.
When Nestle can just poach it from native lands. There's a good quote I saw is that bottled water companies don't produce water. They produce plastic bottles.
Huh.
I love being Northwest. Everybody's like, no, this water's great. Just drink out of the tap. But yeah, where's the money when you can give everybody what they need to be okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyways. What do we got?
Here's one.
I wanted to pick. I didn't get to pick one. I didn't get to pick my end of the world.
Pick one.
I would say comet or asteroid. It'd be quick. It'd be something spectacular to witness. You wouldn't even have hate in your heart because it's like, this is non-discerning. This isn't anybody's fault. Comet's nobody's fault. Climate change, you can get pissed at whoever did what, or rapture, then like, I didn't believe in God. I'm pissed at myself because I didn't believe in God, and now it's a rapture. Comet's just like, wow, we're fucked. And then it's the end.
Boom.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my choice, comet.
You know what's coming? One is coming towards Earth the day before the election.
Yeah, it is not going to be a big deal.
Okay.
It's going to land.
Eventually, one of these is going to be a big deal. Don't you think? Eventually, one of these is going to be a big deal.
I want a comet that's just a ball of ice filled with dinosaurs that hits the Earth and then thaws out and dinosaurs are back. And that puts everybody back into play.
Yes.
No more fighting among people. Yes. We got dinosaurs to beat.
I love it. I love that idea. Of course, National Guard be shooting with tanks.
Oh, yeah. Mm. What do we got?
Here's one. Jer Grieve. I think I pronounced that right. Dave, when did you fall in love with Bigfoot? I can't remember you ever speaking about it. Was a childhood thing or something you got into when you were older? By the big fan guys, listen to the podcast a lot. Makes the days a little shorter and funnier for an out-of-work disabled guy. Oh, you're out-of-work disabled, dude. All right. Well, sorry to hear that. Well, for the out-of-work, I'm sure you've come to... All right.
Making your days shorter sounds like we're slowly killing you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jer. Appreciate you listening. Yeah, I think I've spoken about this. It's really as simple as this. In third grade, I got a hold of a Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Hell yeah.
Those were great. I loved those. But I got a hold of one that was about Bigfoot. It's about these two little young kids went camping, and they ran into a Bigfoot. And then there was about, you know, all those books. You have six or seven different scenarios. And it's the first time I'd ever heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. And I think just the concept of a giant primate that science doesn't recognize, just the concept of like, wait a minute, there's possibly creatures out there that you know, that aren't in my school books or encyclopedias. Like, that sounds pretty rad. And I've just been in love with Bigfoot ever since. Just love the idea of a 8-foot bipedal gorilla walking around in the woods. And most people will be like, nah, that doesn't exist.
All right, now I got to sit here and look at Choose Your Own Adventure books. Now,
someone sent me that exact book, by the way. A Boogie Monster listener found it and sent it. So now I have the same book that turned me on. And I read it every Tuesday night.
Well, there was one. I'm trying to think of which one was the one that really got me excited. Because it wasn't Bigfoot. I think it was more. Fuck, there is. Holy shit, there's a lot of these. I'm like, I'll just peruse this list. Oh, there's 184 Choose Your Own Adventure books. Terror in Australia.
Damn, I didn't realize there was that many.
Seems a little easy. Terror in Australia. That's not a real. Oh, yeah. There's like. Was it Mystery of the Secret Room or something? I think I did like the fantasy ones. But all right. This, I won't waste everybody's time. But this is okay. I found a Wikipedia wormhole. I'm going to be going down with that then.
Nice.
Savage Narden. Y'all ever hook up with someone famous? Nope. One time I banged Bruce Springsteen. That's why he wears the little red packet kerchief out of his back pocket. It means he's into fisting.
That's a good question.
You ever hook up with anybody famous, Dave? Regionally famous?
We'll talk about that later. Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time.
Oh, you mean this is an odd question for two people in a happy relationships to answer publicly?
Uh-huh.
Riggy Marley said, the lady sprung a Gatlinburg, Tennessee trip on me last second for Labor Day weekend. Any restaurant recommendations you guys could suggest? That's on you, Dave. I don't even know much about the Gatlinburg area.
Sorry, guys. I got to.
You there? What do we do? We lose you?
Stop touching my AirPod.
We lost him.
AirPod.
Dave laughed and his earpods fell out. It seems like that.
I call them earbuds, earpods.
Seems like some sort of situation where his ears are.
Call me back, buddy.
Get bigger when he laughs. I don't know, guys. I'm really trying to carry this one until he calls me back.
See, the thing was. When this happens, he's supposed to call me.
And we can jump on it.
That way we're not calling each
other. Here he comes.
There, it's ringing. All right.
Hey, everybody. Dave's back.
There you are, buddy. Sorry about that. Where were you?
It was a question about, we could take it over if you want to edit it, or we could just keep going because this is not a quality show. It was...
No, just tell me the question, and then you can just say everything again that you already told.
I forgot. Now I lost the question, but it was Riggy Marley. The lady sprung a Gatlinburg, Tennessee trip on me last second for Labor Day weekend. Any restaurant recommendations? I was saying I don't know the area of Gatlinburg, Tennessee too well.
Oh, if
something tells me
if you're
might.
Going to Gatlinburg, yeah, dude, all you're going to be eating are pancakes. That's pretty much all. Something about Gatlinburg, they have so many pancake houses and then go-karts. So pancakes and go-karts, get ready, man, because that's all Gatlinburg is. But those aren't two terrible things. But I'm just saying that's all you're going to get is pancakes and go-karts. So have fun.
That is a hell of a way to celebrate the Confederacy. So that's what those flags are for. That's the that's the heritage, not hate. It stands for is just whites only go-karts and pancake houses. I feel like saying whites only go-karts and pancake houses is redundant.
Yeah, that's true, and pretty accurate for Gatlinburg.
Margaret Jinkies says, Dave, have you ever considered starting an adult baseball league? That's a strange question. Why didn't you just say baseball league? He's 43.
No, I've never thought about starting one. I almost joined one. It was a comedians league a couple years ago, but there were too many comics I didn't like on the team. And I had to weigh my love for baseball against my dislike for some of these individuals. And I opted to not do it. So I won't name any names, but you know what I'm talking about, Kyle? Like some of these comic functions, it's like, all right, you're a comic, I'm a comic, but you're kind of a turd. So do I have to hang out and talk to you?
Oh, you mean the social aspect of being a stand-up?
Yes. Some of that annoys me. Just the fact that, like, you know, I guess it's like that with any job, but like this dickhead over here, there's no way I would hang out with him in any other context other than, oh, look, we're both comedians doing a show here tonight, you know?
Well,
so some of those guys I don't want to go play baseball with.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously
shit. I sound like a real asshole.
But that's, I mean, some people's shared interest is how the friendship starts. I mean, take away the alcohol from stand-up. Do you think you'd be hanging out with as many people? You think you'd do your set and still be at the bar 3 hours later talking to everybody?
True.
You know, it's the what aspect gets people together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't have it, but
that's
true.
You
know, I've gone on bike rides with folks that, you know, I've met through comedy or what have you. And then you go to find out, and then you find out, oh, we do have a lot in common. We're going to be friends versus like, yeah, all right, I'll ride with somebody. That's fun to do. I'm not going to invite you to my wedding or anything, but we'll go out and be pals.
Yeah. No, and I'm not above that. I'm not above making new friends. I've just, you know how it is in comedy. There's always a handful of people that like, ugh, I just really can't fucking stand this dude. And so why would I want to go do something extra with him? Well, you know, I'm already having to do shows every now and with him. I don't want to go hang out on Sunday and play ball with this asshole.
All right. I'm going to put this to you. You start, as it's phrased here by Margaret, an adult baseball league, which I don't know. This is a weird question to ask. Do adults play I know adults go and just play pickup basketball, but there's no pickup baseball, is there?
Well, I mean, that's what me and my pals used to do. There'd be about four or five of us would just go and we'd play ball. We obviously didn't have enough to play a real game. So it would be five or six of us, and we'd just take batting practice. We'd have a bucket full of balls, about 30 or 40 balls. So someone would pitch, someone would hit, and everybody else would be out in the field shagging flies or whatever. And then we'd just rotate. You know, you get a bucket, this guy gets a bucket. So we would do a lot of that.
I get that. That's like the batting cages. No, but like there are people hanging out at baseball diamonds waiting for a game to start so they could all join?
No, because you would need 18 people. And then you'd need catcher's gear and someone, you know. So, yeah, you never really see a real 9-on-9 pickup baseball game. But there are adult leagues just like anything else.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's but to answer her question, I do want to do that. That is something I would like to do. And I think about that a lot because it's just so fun. Like if you grew up playing baseball, like before I die, I want to feel the experience again of standing at home plate, taking live pitching, and cranking one over the left field wall. That's a sensation that I want to feel again. So the only way to do that in a game context would be to join a league. So, that's something if the opportunity presents itself again and there's not a bunch of peckerheads on the team that I don't like hanging out with, that's something I'd like to do.
Well, that's not the definition of teamwork, Dave. As long as there's not a bunch of peckerheads out there that I don't want to hang out with, well, that's not a team player. That's why it's called a team, is you have to overlook the peckerheads.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? You're drinking water. That treadmill's coming in. You might make weight for next year. I'll support you, man. I'll help train you. I don't know what I'm doing,
God,
but I'll help.
Damn it!
I'll get you some of those big ropes to shake around.
Hung up on you.
No, you're there. We'll help you out.
I do need some of those ropes. That'd be fun. What if you had some ropes that were that big but made out of Twizzlers. Wouldn't that be cool? All right. The gummies are kicking in, Kyle.
Oh, you got into it. Well, no, Rachel did that like with like two big Slim Jims or something once.
Oh, really?
She's like, look, she's like, look, CrossFit. All
right. That's funny. yeah, my ropes are just salamis.
Tim, my old salami rope. Tim Parham, what movie do each of you think is the best bad movie? Will we be getting a video edition of the podcast anytime soon? I'll tell you, Tim, I'm the one who keeps shitting the bed on that. Although now with how Zoom is and everything, I guess we could put something together.
Yeah, that's something we still gotta
figure that one out. What movie do you think is your best bad movie, Dave?
Huh.
Best of the worst.
That's a good question. Best bad movie.
Well, as I mentioned yesterday, I've been watching Cobra Kai, and I started the second season last night, and I'm just binging them. Second season goes real off the rails. I was speaking very highly because second season gets ridiculous. I'm still on board, but it is nutty as shit, man. I'm telling you.
I think, me personally, movies that I really enjoy, but I know, like, if I'm being honest, like critically, this is not a good movie. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of those late 80s, early 90s Steven Seagal movies. I'll watch those anytime they're on. Not the more recent ones. They've gone really shitty, but like all the ones that had the three word titles, Out for Justice, Above the Law, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death. That whole group of movies, I mean, they're so bad. Like, the acting's terrible and the plot lines are bad, but like, they entertain the shit out of me.
Yeah. I have to rescue this woman who, you know, in the real world is a Playboy playmate, but in this movie, she's a neuroscientist.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to action is always. Makes like the this is a silly. I love the Fast and Furious films for that very because they're self aware. They're like, you came to this movie to see something ridiculous. We gotcha. And I don't know why I'll watch those and allow it, but won't watch other movies of a similar. Like Transformers or something. I'm like, this is stupid. But for like, I know Fast and Furious is silly. I go in there knowing it's silly, and I have a great time. Older movies, for some reason the movie Red Dawn is coming to mind.
Oh yeah, I don't think that's a bad movie. Or is that just? Or am I just dumb? Like, I'm not saying it's an Oscar winner, but I don't think it's like, ugh, this is not good.
I don't know, man. Somehow we had to believe that Cuba invaded Western Colorado. So just listen, I'm not a military strategist, but logistically that seems like several other events would have happened first before high school kids just saw communists parachuting onto their football field. I feel like some other thing. I feel like some warnings would have gone off. Maybe a phone call would have been made that the Russians have actually gotten to the centralmost point of our country and we're under attack. And they're starting a ground war. And they're flying in to drop troops. They made it over Canada or from either coast. And even as a kid, I had a problem with that one. I'm like, how did they get all the way there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I haven't seen it in a while, but like, where are the American troops?
Powers
where
Booth
are our trucks and tanks?
When they find Powers Booth in his crashed fighter jet, he offers some sort of explanation. But by that point, I was like, listen, there's a lot of shooting and everything, and it's pretty cool, so all right.
Oh, man, that's funny.
But yeah, because
that did scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's the 80s, like, and it's still nuclear war.
The parachuting.
Yeah, and you're like, they can get in? Why aren't we working hard? Like, if 9-year-old me had to vote on a defense budget, where it's like, well, we need more nukes. I'm like, clearly, they're getting all the way to Fort Collins.
Oh, man. That's funny.
That's my vote for that one.
Okay, yeah, I guess it is kind of a bad movie then.
But entertaining. Bad and entertaining, those things can happen at the same time.
Okay, see, another one I'm thinking of, but in my heart, I don't think it's a bad movie. Smokey and the Bandit. Like, mm-hmm. I love watching that one. And I'll admit, like, okay, this isn't, like, high art or anything, but, like, it's a pretty good fucking movie. Look at them. They're running from the cops for 4 states.
Well,
you got Jerry Reed. You got the old hound dog.
It's, like, good within the context of what you're going to watch. Like Fast and Furious. I'm going to go watch a silly car action movie. They're doing it mm-hmm. in a great... Like, the remake of Gone in 60 Seconds is horrible, but I'll always watch it because cars
yep.
doing neat stuff.
There you go. That's a great example, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah. Yeah, not a good movie, but man, I watch it every time it's on.
There's...
Cause the cars, man.
Oh, I don't even... It's just... some movies just have an easy watchability. Like, it's not going to challenge me. It's not going to bum me out. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to take a nap to it, but when I wake up, there's going to be something neat happening.
Yeah, nothing. It's not going to confuse you. You're going to be able to follow the plot.
No, they tell it. We got to get this many cars by midnight. Cool. Done and done. No more worrying about plot details. That's all I got to know. You just tell me what's going to happen in the next 2 hours. Got it. These many cars by midnight. Oh. Now I'm in. There's a car. There's a car. There's another car. Yeah. Look at that car.
There's no, who is that guy? Or what did they do? What happened?
No. Well, who's this character? Nope. You know, right away. Those are good guys. Those are bad guys. Those are cars. Do what you do, movie.
Speaking of that reminds me, this has been happening a lot lately. Katie and I will be watching a movie or a show or something, and I'll either won't be paying attention for a second or two, or I couldn't hear it, but every single time I go, what did he say? She goes, I don't know. And then I get mad at her for, like, I haven't expressed this to her, but my reaction is to get mad or frustrated that she didn't have the answer, but then it's like, well... Neither did you, idiot, so you can't really blame her. But it's just weird that every single time I'm like, wait, what'd he say? She's like, I don't know. And I want to get mad at her, but I can't.
I realize how much I was, like, looking at my phone when I was watching TV. It's like, do one or the other. This is ridiculous. Because then I'm just looking up, rewinding, and then I'll look directly back at my phone and miss the same spot. I'm like, this is, like, it was getting, like, it was a sickness. It was, like, a true, like, why am I doing this? I'm not learning. I'm not growing because I'm looking at my phone this much.
Uh-huh.
What do we got next? You got one?
Oh, sorry. I was wandering off there. Dude, that's I'm really, really getting high. Lee Singleton says, this is what he says. He says this. Do you think your parents had an effect on your sense of humor? That's a great question. If so, which one do you think had the greater impact in what ways? What comedy things did you enjoy when your parents, with your parents when you were a child? Good question, Lee. Neither one of my parents were very funny. My mom was unintentionally funny. And, like, I'm not, like, being mean, but, like, she was just... my mom's was very much a goober. Like, she's an old Southern belle. She's an old Southern goober.
Just that, said with your accent will get me every time. He's just a goober.
She was just a goober. So she made me laugh a lot, but, like, unintentionally. And I had to really, like, regulate that as to not hurt her feelings. Like, you don't want to just laugh at somebody all the time. And it wasn't anything, like, cruel or anything, but just the way her personality was would crack me up, but she wasn't like trying to do bits or jokes or anything. My dad was a little bit of the opposite. My dad wasn't a very naturally funny guy, but he would try. He would try to make jokes, you know, classic dad jokes. Or very much a good observer. He was always, you know, making comments about people we would see or encounter out in public. Not too much in a mean-spirited way, but definitely in a, you know, all right, look at this dude coming our way, that kind of thing. So he was more of an observational comic who just wasn't that naturally funny, but he tried. He was always kind of looking for a joke, even though he wasn't that funny, and Mom made me laugh and was never trying to make a joke. So I guess that I took both parts of that and molded them into my sense of humor.
No, I get that, too. I think my mom always was the outgoing personality.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think the delivery came from my mom, but the humor came from my dad.
Okay.
You know, like, the willingness to want to do it and make strangers. Like, because my dad would just sit in the back and just never, not a big talker at all. Uh-huh. And just is real good with the sly little, oh yeah, no shit, okay. Like just sarcastic. Like my mom, one of my early shows that I did that they both came to, and there was the lineup, there was two black guys in the lineup, and at the end my mom was talking to one of them saying, I love this bit that you did about the thing. And she got the black guys confused.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, that's very nice. That was actually the other black guy that was on the show. And my dad's just behind them both going, nice one, Deb. Like, just thought he's a real big fan of the Schadenfreude. Like, I think the funniest, yeah. I think the hardest I could make him laugh doing stand-up is if I got electrocuted by the microphone. Like, that's the kind of shit that would really... really tickle his funny bone.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know, when they're in a good mood hanging out, they're pretty goofy folks. But I think my mom is overtly. I have the part of me where it's kind of like a little desperate and loud and obnoxious. I think that's. I shouldn't say that, but I've been analyzing my youth a bit lately and looking at some things where I'm like, oh, I was just really loud all the time. I thought I was funny, but I was just the loudest person.
Yeah. Little loud Kyle.
If I can't hear anybody else making jokes, it must be because I'm the funniest one in the room. But yeah, I was a real jag-off for a long time.
Yeah. I think most little boys are jack-offs, don't you think? Most little boys have got a bit of a shithead to them.
I mean, there's like destructive curiosity,
mm-hmm.
you know, going and like breaking windows and dropping fireworks down sewers and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I wasn't mean to other people, but I was always breaking shit or just into shit that someone else was probably going to be inconvenienced by.
Well, that goes into this. Adam Santoni. What's the dumbest thing you got away with as a kid?
Oh, that's a great question. Dumbest thing you got away with?
Huh. I never got away with shit, man. I was so filled with Catholic guilt, I would confess at church, and then I would tell my mom whatever I did. So I never did, like, crazy shit. I was actually pretty responsible, good student, like, mischief, but nothing super nutty. That I can think of now. I mean, he's starting fires and fireworks and shit. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't remember getting away with a whole lot.
I should have thought about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to come back to that one. Yeah, that one's going to require some thought.
Well, let's get back to the subject matter at hand. Josh McAfee, what do each of you think is the most likely and realistic scenario for an apocalypse? Examples, See, this goes back to the other question about how, what we would want versus what we think is going to happen. Examples, solar flare knocking out entire power grid and causing mass panic, a pandemic 10 times worse than COVID, nuclear war, biblical rapture, etc. So a lot of the same things as before, but what do we think would happen as opposed to what would we like to happen? I think a power grid, I don't know, the power grid one's weird because would it be a mass panic or would people that are just in their communities now remain calm and help each other in a neighborly way and not have access to the media or the internet that's showing mass panic elsewhere so it wouldn't stoke mass panic in their communities? Like that whole thing, like the toilet paper shit at the beginning of COVID, you saw people fighting over toilet paper in a store on a video somewhere, and then that made you think, oh, shit, maybe I need toilet paper. Ask anybody why they thought they needed it, and nobody had an answer. They just saw somebody else freaking out about it.
Absolutely. So that's perfect. Yeah.
I think power grid wouldn't be it. I mean, it now, depending on how long it lasts and if it affects, you know, necessities like food supplies and stuff like that, that's a different situation.
That'd be a gnarly way to go, man. That wouldn't be just like a meteor or something. That would take a while. If we're talking apocalyptic, if we're talking about wiping out the population,
yeah,
like that would take a while. That'd be a lot of gnarly bloodshed.
I think you can recover from that. People have generators. I mean, I think that it would suck, but I don't think it would be apocalypse. Pandemic.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I've always thought a pandemic. That's always kind of been towards the top of my list. I've just always, and I don't know why, you know, I don't have any hard evidence, but just the concept of just nature, just something in nature affecting us medically that we don't have a cure for or we can't fight against it. Just that concept has always scared the shit out of me of like, oh, yeah, there's no cure to this, and now it's literally sweeping the globe. I mean, I know that's what Corona, you know, COVID is, but like you said, 100 times. Imagine a virus 100 times more deadly than COVID.
Well,
I mean, you're talking some big numbers.
And then you're talking about, then you got to start that whole process of convincing idiots to trust the government in this specific case if they are trying to put proper lockdowns on things without them going, man, it's just a conspiracy to stifle my freedom. You fucking retards. Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't say that word, but you know what I mean by it.
Yeah.
Biblical rapture, shit. If straight up like Christians were like, told ya, see ya.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'd be upset. I think I'd just be like, how about that? You know?
That wouldn't suck for those who didn't make it. If you're telling me that in one full sweep, all the Christians could disappear from Earth, I'd be okay with that. Not to step on any Christians' toes, but like we'll be all right without you.
Heaven doesn't sound fun.
I'll go
fun,
do your
man.
Thing.
Heaven
sounds
like how
heaven does
what,
sound
yeah,
fun.
What's the process? All right, you my eternal soul. I'm not saying hell sounds better, but like heaven, like. Every day is just nice. Like think
well,
about
I used
if
to
you
think
have,
about
if
this
you,
a lot.
If you have to stay in heaven by following all the ridiculous shit that Christians believe in, where it's like, oh, I'm bored this afternoon. I think I'm going to go beat off. Nope, getting kicked out of heaven. Points on your license.
Yeah.
Just little things.
Well,
but how would you get up there in the first place?
What bothered me? One thing that really bothered me when I was a Christian, when I was 12 and I was just convinced that there was a heaven and I was going to go, the thing that still bothered me was the concept of eternity. And I used to think like, yeah, I know it's probably going to be rad, but forever? I used to like, that gave me anxiety, the concept of having to be up there forever. The fact that it was never ending, A, I couldn't wrap my mind around it, and B, even if I could, it was like, I don't know. I just feel like that would get exhausting.
Yeah.
Even if it was awesome, even if it was heavenly, and everything. Every day was amazing. Like, eventually, like, Jesus Christ, I've been up here a while. Can we change something?
And you have this one chance to do it right. To determine the eternity of your soul. Put it under a microscope. It doesn't hold up. But we all know that. But if that's why, if biblical rapture happened, I would just be like, well, goddamn. I tried to watch that, what was that, Leftovers, that HBO show? Was it HBO? I don't know, man. I was watching it, and I was kind of on board, and then it was one of those things where I was like, I realized I was looking at my phone for three episodes. I'm like, maybe I just don't like this show, and I'm watching it. Sometimes you binge because things are good, and then the other times you binge, it's like because you somehow have this, or at least I feel like I have this obligation because I already got far enough in it that I got to complete it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm hesitant to binge things just because it just, like right now, I don't have anything going on in my day-to-day life, but just the thought of starting a new show that has like five or six seasons, like, that's a commitment.
That's good. Cobra Kai's only got two. Hey, in pertaining to that question of eternity, and actually somebody chimed in to say it's a great question, so you know it is. Scott Hummel asks, magically, your hand becomes a condiment dispenser. Each finger emits the condiment of your choice. What five will you carry for the rest of your life? Ooh, that's a good one.
What a weirdo.
And then Matt Brewster said, shit, this is a great question.
Yeah. Okay. I think I got it figured out pretty easy. I'm going to have brown mustard and yellow mustard.
Which fingers?
I'm going to have barbecue. I didn't even think about that. Let's go with my pinky. Yeah. I'm going to start at my pinky. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start at my pinky. We got yellow mustard. We got brown mustard. We got barbecue sauce. We got ranch dressing. We got mayonnaise. Two mustards, a barbecue, a ranch, and a mayonnaise.
Wow. Two yellows, two whites.
Although I would like to have a hot sauce in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think I'm almost all hot sauce.
Probably need to put a hot sauce in there.
I think I'm all hot sauce.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I was thinking, sometimes I forget about hot sauce as a condiment.
It's not rare. Like, condiments are out there. You could just get condiments. The whole door of my fridge is condiments.
Yeah, that's true. Like, why does my hand have to be? But, like, if we're playing along, I mean, that would be pretty rad.
I would say you wouldn't want hot sauce.
Power glove.
Because you don't wash your hands and then you rub your eyes or you touch your D&Bs.
There you go.
You fondle your Dave and Buster's. You want to go getting some aardvark habanero sauce up on those guys. Get you in trouble.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
I've been enjoying calling my dick and balls my Dave and Buster's. I think, all right. But I use hot sauce more than anything else. So probably hot sauce, because then you could throw the pinky out when you're wiping your face or something. And it's weird and classy. It's like hot sauce is like the party condiment. So it's like your Coke nail. You know what? An A1 or a steak sauce always makes something better. No matter what, a piece of bread good with some A1 sauce. Even though I don't use it a lot, I'm saying now.
Yeah.
But maybe I would if it was part of my anatomy.
A1 to me has always had a bit of a cleaning product vibe to it. Like, it just feels, I just taste a little turpentine or pine sol or some shit in there. I don't know.
Well, that's a recipe.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise. I could see mayonnaise. But now I don't. Now I got to pick what kind of hot sauce. Cholula's easy. I might have been using Cholula too much throughout my life. Now I see Cholula, I'm not excited about it anymore. Like, give me something weird, man. Give me something wild, you know?
That green Cholula is good.
It is. Was salsa, is salsa a condiment?
That's a good question.
Dude, salsa, nacho cheese, every bag of tortillas is now nachos.
Yeah. I don't think salsa is a condiment. When I think of condiments, I think of something you would put on a sandwich or a burger.
You never had salsa on a burger?
That's kind of my measuring stick.
You never had salsa on a burger?
I mean, I know you
can
put it on there. Yeah, I've had Applebee's quesadilla burger that's got the Southwest Ranch and the salsa.
Queso dip. Solid. Well, it's dip. Dip's on the name.
But I'm talking traditional, you know, the traditional things that might go on a sandwich. But then, again, you're right. Like, steak sauce doesn't really go on a sandwich, but
then
that would fall under condiment.
Pickle chips go on a sandwich. But how is pickle chips
now,
how are pickle chips coming out of your finger?
Well, no, that's a topping. I think pickles would fall under toppings, the same way tomato and lettuce and
relish.
All that shit. I'm talking, relish. Yeah, how's relish, really, in theory, how's relish different from salsa?
It's not at all.
It's a medley of chopped up vegetables. Yeah. So, yeah. Although my point is I do kind of consider relish a condiment, but I don't necessarily consider salsa a condiment. I'm glad I'm going to write all this down. It'll be in my thesis. I'm taking this really seriously. Like, all right, hold on. Now, can I have two gloves, or are we just talking one hand? Because that'd be a game changer. But then how you gonna get any shit done if both your hands are condiments?
Well, it's like, do you guys be like, index finger, give me an ounce of ketchup? Or is it just all the time? Your hands are just dripping and you just have flies around. Just gross. you just have hands are just like, they're just like the napkin and fork counter at a Tasty Freeze, sticky and disgusting all the time.
Everybody hates you all the time. Look at this fucking asshole dripping everywhere.
Your hands have roaches.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Like an Edward Scissorhands.
Got to sleep with Saran wrap around your hands. Oh, my mustard pinky's leaking.
Just ostracized from the community.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here, freak. Oh, my God.
You were finger banging a girl. Now she's filled with Heinz 57.
Oh, my God.
Oh, babe, Jesus. Babe, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. What is that? No, that's me. That's about a half a gallon of tartar sauce that just came out of my thumb. It's not you. You're fine.
Oh, my God. I need a moment. Oh, my God.
Oh, we got a giggle. A giggle at old Power Stone over here.
Tartar sauce. Oh, that was the perfect one to pick. Fucking tartar sauce is gross anyway.
Man, you know the rules of comedy. Oh, you got to keep up in the ante. Explore and heighten.
Got tartar sauce in her cooter. Oh, my God. That's so gross. What else do we have? What do we got?
Ooh, here's a real one from Alexandra Onesto. Hey, guys, how long before the conspiracy about COVID comes out to be true? Just like 9/11 or aliens, this just seems weird. Like a virus that highly contagious, but mortality rate only higher in older people with underlying conditions. This has all seemed weird from the get-go. I had thought about this myself, because now that we've been on for a bit into this, mm-hmm. and even the people we know that are getting sick are getting better or didn't feel symptoms, I'll just say this. I don't. First off, these numbers that they're using, like, oh, well, the only true COVID deaths are really 2% of the actual total. No. Mm-hmm. If you have cancer and you're weakened because of cancer, and then you get in a car accident, and a fully healthy person would have maybe survived that car accident, but because you're weakened with cancer, the car accident killed you, you still died from a car accident.
Yeah.
Same goes with this. You know, and I take it seriously because, like I said, Rachel's got asthma, and this thing is respiratory and this and that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to take a chance. It's a fucking mask. Now, I'm not going to go down that road because it is different with businesses shutting down, and we're seeing, you know, all the plays we want to play. But I don't think – I think that maybe – I'd say the handling of it was very bad. It was a blame game and not like a, this is a thing that's out there. So instead of making it political, let's talk about how we're going to deal with this. So it politicized it, and it, you know, obviously, you know, shit for brains Trump, turned into a blame game and who did this, and then let's not get excited about it. Let's not take it seriously yet. I think how it handled fucked up everybody's perception of what of how to handle it. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. I think it should be taken seriously. I think that I don't have a lot of answers for how businesses should handle it and this and that, but I don't think it's a conspiracy. Maybe the response wasn't great, but I don't think that's a conspiracy. I think that's just mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think China made it. I don't think it's being done to undermine the economy and shift power. I don't think that. I think it was the response to it was so wildly mismanaged. And Americans have this pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm an independent person and you can't fuck with my freedom type of thing. It's like my thing, like, if you're a patriot, that means you care about America. That means you care about other Americans. So put on your mask and do what you're supposed to do to make sure mm-hmm. we can all get back up and running sooner.
Yeah.
But this, it's all about me. Fuck you. You don't get to call yourself a patriot if that's your attitude. That's not a patriot. That's a selfish individual. A patriot,
and I think that's the problem.
Yeah, a patriot is about the good of the country. Arguing about wearing a mask in fucking Walmart, that's about you. That's not about the good of the country anymore. You're not a patriot. You're a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my part on that, Alexandra.
My two cents on that real quick is I agree with you. I don't think it's a conspiracy. However, I think that's a very remote possibility, in that I kind of believe, I know we've talked about this, but like, I'm not saying I believe in Agenda 21, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't put it past the powers that be. I don't necessarily believe that the Illuminati and the NWO is trying to kill off its citizens, but I wouldn't put it past them, because that concept of, you know, the Georgia Guidestones, you know, maintain a global humanity of under 500 million. Like, I get, if I was in the NWO or the Illuminati and I was, I get the appeal of having a lot less people. I get how the world would be a better place if there was a lot less people. So therefore, I wouldn't put it past certain powers that be to involve themselves in some sort of conspiracy to thin the herd. So I know I'm being kind of both sides of the coin here. I don't necessarily believe that that's what's happening, but that's a remote possibility. But if I had mm-hmm. to answer yes or no, yeah, I think it the virus was created organically. I don't think that it was created intentionally to do all the harm that it is doing, both economically and population wise. But maybe.
No, less people. Yeah, I'm all for less people happening in a less dramatic way.
Yeah.
What do we got? We got a lot of questions here, dude.
Might have to. Yeah, we may have to get back to this one next month.
These are good questions, everybody. I know we don't get to all of them. I wish.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe maybe we should employ more of an organized way to get to them. I know some people submit over and over, and we don't get to them. And then some people we answer repeatedly.
Yeah, and that's not intentional, by the way. We're just picking questions that would sound fun to answer. So, yeah, if you're not getting your question on, it's definitely not intentional. Because I rarely, I can't match, a person to a question retroactively. Oh, that guy asked that question last month. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
let's see. Hey, Luis Coronado says, Kyle, I was your bartender at Hotel Congress Comedy Night during the 2018 edition of the annual HoCo Fest. That was a good time. You opened your
Where
set.
Is this?
This was in Tucson at HoCo okay. Fest, which is like a little mini comedy and music fest. I just got to see Mexican Institute of Sound. That's a fun band. That was just like, I just watched a whole crowd of every different type of person just get down and have a good time. So I was excited to see them.
I love that.
They were good. Yeah. You opened your set by saying you shaved your beard and admitted that you were aware that you look like a young Yoda. That's the look. There's no chin under here. It's all just fucking forehead and ears once that beard goes, I'll tell you. Any plans on doing sets as Yoda's other milestone ages? I don't know. We only got young Yoda and old Yoda. So if I'm around long enough to look like old Yoda, I guess so. We'll see. Maybe, you know what? Maybe when you get that little like neck waddle thing with age, it'll actually give me a chin.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I know so little about Star Wars. I didn't realize there was a young Yoda. I just always thought it was just old Yoda. Huh.
I'm just we got a lot of good questions, man. I feel bad that I got to go paint rooms right now. I want to do one. Yeah. I want to do one more. Jason Costello Wadlington.
Do one more.
Uh-huh. Says is Dean Cameron the best late 80s, early 90s actor who never got his due? Yes, he is, man. Hell yeah! For a shout out.
I don't know who's
Dean Cameron. He's like, here's the rest of this. Y'all mentioned the Men at Work movie at one point. He played the pizza guy. He absolutely did. Was also in Summer School. Yes, he was with, was he Chainsaw or was his buddy Chainsaw? Both ski schools. Yes, probably other stuff. Check out Miracle Beach. There was a daytime HBO version and a late night version, which at 12, holy shit. Rockula is a highlight. Rock and roll vampire comedy. A lot of stars in that one. Watched every Halloween. He's an American treasure. I believe he is also Canadian. And I'm going to, Dean Cameron, did he do The Scam? Hold on 1 second. Let me find.
I just pulled him up. Yeah, I know this dude. Okay. Yeah.
This happened, I'm pretty sure, this is the same Dean Cameron. Now, this is from a while ago, but he did, like, he basically, in the early days of trolling and everything,
uh-huh,
he got, like, the Nigerian spam scam, like, some, no, he is from, oh, shit, he's from Illinois, and he just had a long ongoing, he's one of the first people to have, like, a long ongoing correspondence between, like, somebody complaining to, claiming to be a Nigerian prince. And so, yeah, he does a one-man show about that. And that's why I heard him. It was like Dean Cameron. I was like, wait a minute, the dude from Summer School. Underrated movie. Yeah, you know who he is, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I didn't know his name, but, yeah, I know that face.
Hell, yeah. I say he was great. I don't know if anybody's the most underrated. I'm going to say the give me the My $2 kid from from Better Off Dead steals the show and Better Back to the Dead. Beach. Some other 80s actors. I love the dude who played Fisher Stevens. You know who Fisher Stevens is? He did a little bit of brown face when he was the scientist who created Johnny Five. But he was in... You'd know him if you saw him. He's got a weird look. He was Short Circuit. He was the doctor. But he was in Hackers.
Right. Looking him up now. Yeah, I know that dude. Okay.
Yeah, I always thought he was great and stuff. He was in My Science Project, which I liked a lot. Shit, yeah, this guy was in a bunch of stuff. Oh man, this one I can go down a much longer road, so maybe we got to revisit it next time. That was a good question, though. Appreciate that question, Dean Cameron praise. All right, man.
Well, yeah, we'll just get back to these next month. There's a bunch of good ones in here, and I'll also I'll think of an answer for that one question about. What's the dumbest thing I got away with when I was a kid? I'm surely I got away with some shit. So I'll come up with a good answer for that. But yeah, man, patrons, thank you so much. Sincerely appreciate the shit out of you.
Bunch of goddamn nice sweethearts, I tell you.
Yeah, man. It's nice to see these numbers gradually increase. All the new patrons, welcome aboard. But yeah, $4 a month, you get this stupid shit. And then you get another something about me and talking about food. So there you go. That's value right there. Yeah. Bang for your buck.
Well, hell yeah, man.
Oh boy. I'm gonna go cook some ribs today, Kyle.
Are you doing ribs? You doing
throwing pop? On. I got a whole rack of spare ribs. About to cook those bastards up. Just sit around eating ribs.
A lot of times recently when I've been
barbecuing, smoking a lot, I haven't been preparing any side dishes. So like Katie and I are just sitting in here just eating pork.
Just making
no veggies, no appetizers.
Making some Lincoln log houses with rib bones.
Yeah.
They're called spare ribs, but we never have any left to spare. Come on, get on over here, neighbor.
All right, you silly bastards. Thanks again for the support. Tell a friend. You guys stay safe, stay sane, stay happy, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Hell yeah.
Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Dave.